Michael Parker and D Program on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It is Friday, and this is our final segment of D Program today. I will be joined by Rita Diller in just a moment. She is part of the STOP International, which stands for Stop Planned Parenthood. We're going to discuss Roe versus Wade. And during the break, I was scrolling through just some news. And wow. So Nancy Pelosi, of course, she's losing her mind, and she screams, what is happening here? Emotional Pelosi slashes at Trump and the Republicans over cruel Roe versus Wade decision. Obama chimed in, said the court is attacking freedom. Biden says women's lives are at risk. So my point is that they are entitled to their opinion, as are many people are entitled to their opinion, regardless of the issue. But this type of excoriating statements is not going to help the climate of the U.S. and our society. And as politicians at the very pinnacle, even though Obama is no longer president, I mean, many people think he's still the president, right? Regardless, these are people at the pinnacle of power and leadership positions for the U.S. The Supreme Court has made the decision. Now, if you have a problem with it, there are things that can be done to address that. But for these leaders to just come out and yell and scream and complain about it, I don't think helps the situation of the United States, of the group of states, and the 330 some odd people that they are supposed to lead. This is counterproductive and negative. And that's just my thoughts on this. I mean, we have a lot of problems in the U.S. And Roe versus Wade happening at this particular, the overturn of this happening at this particular time, I mean, it could have happened at a different time, but it's happened now. So it's in front of us and we can discuss this. And I would just like to see our leaders take the high road. And if you don't agree with it, well, then let's use the legal system to address it. But don't excoriate a guy who's not even president anymore, or excoriate the process. The Supreme Court made this based upon historical precedent, legal rulings from the past, academic scholarship regarding the laws and the rules and the Constitution. And whether you agree with it or not, we have to accept that this came from the Supreme Court. So as of right now, this is where we stand. And we as a U.S. people, as a group of people, you can go into the streets and you can protest. Please don't get violent. Violence is not going to help. And I say this to both sides. We've had enough violence. This will not help the situation. It will only obscure and make the situation more difficult. And this is an extraordinary time to be alive. And I feel very privileged to have a chance to speak. And not everyone's going to agree with what I have to say. And as Charles Kovas was saying in the first hour, we have to have the courage to speak to what we think is right. And this is a subject, like I say, that I'm typically uncomfortable speaking on, because, you know, some women might say, here goes another straight white guy talking about abortion. But we have to talk about it today, because this is right dead center in front of us. And man, I mean, between the economy, between Ukraine, between COVID, I mean, and now this, we have to look at this as a challenge to raise ourselves to the challenge and not let us be defeated or fall into chaos and despair. So we can do this, people. We need to call on our better selves. And if you want changes, then be the change you wish to see. Is that right? Isn't that something they say? Anyway, I'm not trying to be a total hippie here, but this is TNT. This is Deep Program. My name is Michael Parker. We're going to be right back with Rita Diller.
Russia, gas prices, COVID mandates.
It just doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, for this segment, you know, when we reached out to have Rita on the show, we had some scheduling issues, so I asked Rita if she could come on a different day. And as it turns out, this is a fortuitous day to have Rita on. She is with STOP International, which stands for Stop Planned Parenthood. I believe she's coming to us from Texas, my home state. And Rita, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you, Michael. Thrilled to be here. And what a happy day for me to be here.
So, yes, I mean, for the pro-life side, this is a huge day. And So speak to this, because you have spent much of your life as an activist for this. Now, you didn't necessarily start out this way. I think you started out more on the left as a feminist. Is that correct?
That's correct. I did. I had spent a lot of years as a young woman listening to a lot of propaganda that was not based on fact. And I finally came to the understanding and knowledge of what abortion really was. So I was a card-carrying member of NOW. As a young woman, I was all about equal pay for equal work, but I also swallowed that propaganda about abortion being a woman's right to control her own body without thinking about the other body that was involved, that was a separate human being. And I believed that it was needed for women to advance in the workplace. But I never bothered to think that all the way through or find out, like I said, the truth about abortion. Until one day I was teaching a class of middle schoolers and I invited a guest speaker in to talk about abortion. Well, she was a medical doctor and, in my opinion, a living saint, just a good, good woman, salt of the earth. She talked to the students, and honestly, I don't remember a word she said, but at the end, she showed a video of a dumpster full of late-term, fully formed aborted babies. And I tell you, I wanted desperately to disbelieve her. But she was a medical doctor and she came with great credentials. Well, I want you to know that seeing those little innocent children in that dumpster was the impetus for the rest of my life's work to stop abortion. I died 1,000 deaths that night. I cried my eyes out and I vowed to do everything that I could possibly do for the rest of my life to stop abortion. So it was the truth that set me free. And I set about learning and telling the truth about abortion and about Planned Parenthood while helping women, children, and families all along the way that were in crisis situations.
This is a monumental day. This is a, I started getting texts and this morning. I was preparing for the show and I was coming up with some additional news items having to do with inflation and guns and things like this. And this broke while I was doing that. And of course, this takes precedent over all of those stories. There are a lot of people who are very upset today. There are a lot of people who are very pleased today. And I mean, this is a profound moment to what do we consider human life? When is the beginning of that? When is a human life a human life? And the one thing that I will say is that when I've heard people debate that late in a pregnancy, I just don't understand that, because once we're getting to like 15 to 20 weeks, I mean, this is clearly a human life. And so I have struggled when I've heard people discuss this back and forth, and continue to give me your thoughts on this subject.
Well, you know, it's a simple matter of biology. As soon as the egg and sperm join, all the genetic material is there to make that human being. All that's needed is time for development. And so it's obvious to me that human life is human life from the very beginning, from the very moment of conception, just like a puppy life is puppy life from the very moment of conception. You know, it's not going to change into anything else. This is the genetic mapping is there, and we know for sure that this is a human being. So human beings are human beings and deserve the right to life and the right to be protected in that life from the very moment of conception until their death.
Mm-hmm. In the state of Texas, because I'm also the legal aspect of this, as I mentioned in my previous segment, the one thing I do like about this and the other rulings that have come down, this is the Supreme Court doing what it's supposed to do, which is weigh subjects, whether they're popular or unpopular, and try to find out, is this constitutional? Is this not constitutional? Is there historical precedent that has to be reexamined? And the abortion issue, I mean, even Ginsburg was concerned that, you know, hey, we may have to readdress this in the future. And that day has come today. So where does this leave Texas? Because there's many states that have different rulings on this. So as of today, where does Texas stand on that?
Well, look, if we could talk just a little bit first about Roe versus Wade and mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood versus Please. Casey, so we can see what we're dealing with. But in 1973, Roe versus Wade established a supposed right to abortion before viability. And it said in its own words that this right exists in the penumbra, which means shadows of the Constitution. So there was never a straight out statement in the Constitution that abortion was protected. And it was inferred through what they called the shadows of the Constitution. Then Casey came along in 1992 and added the undue burden wordage to expand on that supposed right. Well, in short, the undue burden standard states that a legislature cannot make a particular law that is too burdensome or restrictive of one's fundamental rights. But in doing so, in Roe versus Wade and in Casey, they're overlooking the very fundamental right of another human being who's going to be destroyed in this situation. As far as Texas goes, Texas is one of the states that has protections in place for the unborn. Mm-hmm. And so today in Texas, as of now, all preborn babies are protected throughout pregnancy. Abortion is banned. And the mm-hmm. reason being that we have a pre-Roe statute banning abortion that's on the books, and that statute will drive policy in Texas. Mm-hmm. Texas Right to Life came out this morning estimating that an average of 140 babies a day that would have died under the yoke of Roe will live 140 every day. If you think about it, that's two large school buses per day of children every day who will be alive instead of dead. And as far as where Texas is going now, the agenda is to make sure our state is clear, that there's now a state law or policy that all abortions are illegal. Number two, mm-hmm. we will increase funding for the Alternatives to Abortion Fund that we have in Texas. And number three, we'll make it illegal for Planned Parenthood and other historically abortion-focused entities to operate in the state. So those are the goals of Texas policy associations that are being disseminated today.
Speak to the third part again, okay, regarding Planned Parenthood.
I'm sorry?
Speak to the third part again regarding Planned Parenthood, what you mentioned about that.
That it is the desire of the Texas policy agencies to make it illegal for Planned Parenthood and other historically abortion-focused entities to operate in the state.
Okay, so what does that mean exactly? So they can't offer contraception? Because from my point of view, I have no problem with contraception. And I think contraception should be used. Are you saying that they won't be able to do that?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that it is the desire of Texas policy groups to make it that way. So okay. Planned Parenthood is still operating in Texas today. It will continue to operate. It will continue to try to work around this law and terminate as many pregnancies as possible, but will not be able to do that within the state of Texas. They are forming networks of employees to act as guides to actually send women to bordering states where abortion is still legal and may remain legal for some time. So okay. Planned Parenthood is not booted out of the state. The
right.
The facilities that they close will be facilities that they choose to close, just like the Title X money that they turned down almost $60 million they turned down in 2021 from the government because it would not be awarded to entities that commit abortions. And so their choice was to turn down that money. So it's their choice whether they stay in Texas or leave Texas at this point.
Got it. And I'm just using Texas as an example because I'm not a lawyer, and I'm just trying to understand because different states had different rulings about how this was going to go. And basically, essentially what the Supreme Court did was revert this back to the states, which is, I think that's what they should have done. So that's the reason I was using Texas as an example. Let me ask you this. So, and I want to understand this. Well, how do you feel about contraception in general, like birth control or prophylactics?
I think it comes with understanding what the action of the birth control pills are. The most common birth control pills that are available have several actions to try to avoid pregnancy. And one of those is to keep the newly conceived baby from being able to implant in the mother's uterus. And so with that, if we believe that a child is a child when it's first conceived and not something else, then we have to believe that those types of drugs that can cause that child not to implant are certainly out of the question. And there are other forms of family planning. There's natural family planning where a woman can monitor her cycle and know exactly right where she's in her cycle and whether she'll be achieving pregnancy or able to achieve pregnancy at that time. So definitely opposed to anything that kills babies. And in my opinion, most of the birth control pills out there have that potential.
Right. So I'm just trying to, because those who were pro-choice will ask these communities, I'm just trying to find some kind of solution here. What about, because they always talk about this, and perhaps I've been married for 27 years, and so I'm not out there in the mix. There is a prophylactic commonly called a rubber, or if there was some form of contraceptive that could be created for men, because if I'm understanding you correctly, if some form of family planning could occur before the conception point, you would be okay with that. Am I right?
If there is a compelling reason, I will tell you right now that I'm Catholic.
Okay.
And our church teaches, and I believe that there's a purpose. And I think natural law tells us this too, if we'll think about it. There's a purpose for men and women being created the way that they are. They're created to be able to procreate, to be able to create children, to create families. And we've completely lost sight these days of the importance, I think, of family and the nuclear family, where we see a large percentage of our young people these days not even looking for marriage, not looking to build families, but looking just to cohabitate and to have pleasurable sex, you know, recreational sex. And in the end, where does that lead to? You know, that leads to children that don't have the protection of family. And it's just backwards. And so what we need to do instead of encouraging contraception is encourage the formation of families, encourage marriage. There's all kinds of statistics out there that show how beneficial it is to children to have a mother and a father in the homes and how detrimental it is otherwise. So I'm not out peddling contraception in any way, shape, or form, and I would never recommend it to anybody.
Understood. Well, listen, I agree with you on the dissolution of the nuclear family. I think that's been an intentional social engineering process that's been on for many, many decades, and there are reasons behind that, which again sounds like some crazy science fiction movie, but I think that has been largely intentional. These are complicated questions, and so
Well, and you know that that was made possible. The dissolution of the family was really made possible by birth control. That's, if you'll look at the statistics, that's really when the families began to fall apart. And of course, it got a lot worse in the 60s and 70s with the advent of the sexual revolution, which was obviously made possible by the birth control pill, because now we could take pills and have all the recreational sex we want. Therefore, why would we get married? You know, why would we take on responsibilities when we don't have to? And it's led to so much irresponsibility in our society, and the dissolution of the family is at the very core of that.
I'm speaking with Rita Diller, and this is a big, big day. She is with a group called Stopped Planned Parenthood. We're going to take a quick break. This is Deprogram. I'm your host, Michael Parker. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Christina Borgeson on TNT Radio.
It was an author's note, and he wrote, I'll quote it. He says, I have found, and he's talking about these shootings, I have found that these events have indeed happened all over the country. In every instance that I have investigated, the incident at the women's school in Canada, the shopping center incident in Canada, the Stockton, California massacre, and the murder of Rabbi Meir Kahane. The shooters were all ex-mental patients or were current mental patients who were all on Prozac. This drug, when taken in certain doses, increases the serotonin level in the patient, causing extreme violence. And he says, couple that with post-hypnotic suggestion or control through, he starts talking about brain implants or microwave. He's basically talking about MK Ultra stuff. That's what started you thinking
of Christina Borgeson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Freedom of speech. Freedom of movement. Freedom of choice. Freedom of assembly. Freedom of health. The voice of freedom is TNT Radio.
And I speak with Rita Diller. She is the, I think, the interim director of STOP International. STOP stands for Stop Planned Parenthood. Rita, how long have you been with this group?
Well, actually, I just walked back in the door recently after a 7-year hiatus. But before that, I had worked for STOP for, 6 years. And they asked me to come back to work on a report that actually our founder, Jim Sedlak, had started before he died in January. So when I looked into his numbers, I saw that it's a facilities report about the Planned Parenthood facilities that are in operation, the ones that have shut down. So we're comparing numbers to see what they're doing. And I found out that Planned Parenthood is on very shaky ground already and very much teetering even before the overruling of Roe. For the past 19 years, their number of facilities have been declining. They've been really falling. And Planned Parenthood itself has always looked at the number of its facilities as representing the reach of its organization. So historically, to extend its reach in 1983, Planned Parenthood started a very aggressive expansion push. They predicted that it would operate 2,000 facilities by the year 2000. That never happened. Its largest reach was a total of 938 in 1995. Well, at the end of 2021, Planned Parenthood actually had 133 fewer facilities than it had in 1973 when Roe versus Wade was erected. And today it has 40% fewer than it had at its peak in 1995. So it's an organization that's been headed down for a long time, but it manages to keep its abortion numbers up, even with the declining numbers of facilities. And the way it has done that is it has adopted this abortion pill policy, where they're using the abortion pills as an alternative to surgical abortion. So that's how they've kept their abortion numbers high and their income up as well. Planned Parenthood now commits surgical or pill abortions at 69% of its facilities. So there are not that many facilities out there that do not do abortions anymore that are Planned Parenthood. It operates 82% of all the abortion pill only facilities in the U.S. And it now operates 55% of all abortion facilities in the United States. So Planned Parenthood wants to come across as a family planning organization, but once again, they've given up family planning funding, the Title X money from the government, because they could not do abortions if they were partaking of that money. And we can look at what they're doing with their business model and see that their focus is hyper-focused on abortion. They're all about abortion.
So are you saying that this reduction in these Planned Parenthood facilities is tied to lack of funds because they wouldn't take that money, or just lack of use, or what are what's the reason behind this?
No, they receive Planned Parenthood receives $1.7 million every day from you and me, the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. Every day, $1.7 million. So they're not hurting for money. They've got all the money they need from government grants and so forth. What is happening is people are coming to understand the truth about Planned Parenthood, that it is an abortion organization, that it's all about abortion, that is their central goal. And people like myself are coming to understand what abortion is. It's no one's right to kill a baby. And, you know, I have great empathy for women who find themselves in those situations. And I have started ministries in my lifetime to help them and to bring them to a place where they can solve the problems that are driving them to abortion. And it's not like most women wake up and think, oh, I'm pregnant, I'm going to have an abortion today. No, they're like animals caught in traps. They don't need something that's going to cause them more grief and more pain and more trouble. They grieve for those children all their lives. We also have a ministry for women who have had abortion and are suffering from post-abortion trauma. And it's a real thing. It's a very, very real thing. They can stuff it emotionally for so many years, but there always comes a point when a woman has to deal with the fact that she has a child that is just not there, you know, a child that is gone, and a child that she feels like she's been responsible for taking the life of. And let me tell you, that is a hard row to hoe. So we care for these ladies, we love them, and what we would try to do initially is certainly help them out of the trap they're in so that they can bring their baby to term and hopefully parent the baby, but if not, place the babies for adoption, because there are thousands of families out there that can't have children. And I was one of those too, and just waiting to be able to adopt a child. And by the grace of God, I did adopt my first, and then I had two more after that. And that's a very common scenario, too, when women who can't have children adopt children. It somehow turns on the hormones, and you're able to have more children. I know that 3 out of 4 of the women in my adoption group were in that situation. We all had children after we adopted one. And I had a good relationship with my son's birth mother, and he just recently found her in the same city he's living, just a few blocks away. So he's developing a relationship with her too. So it's really interesting how literally God works in all these things, but we don't want to come across as people that don't care about women, because we do. We very much care about women. We are women, you know. Yes. And don't want to see anybody in a trap like that, where they feel like they have to devour their young or let someone else devour the young. I have stood in front of abortion centers and watched women be forced in by relatives or by boyfriends. Yeah. One man had a gun in his pocket, and when I called out to him and asked him to come talk to me, pulled the gun out of his pocket and showed me that he was armed. And he took her into that abortion facility and forced her to have an abortion basically at gunpoint, because obviously she knew he had the gun too. So it's not really so much about women's rights to kill their baby as women's rights to be able to be protected themselves and to protect their children, who many of them desperately want to protect when they walk into those facilities.
Rita, I understand, and I didn't mean to infer that. I thought that you ladies did not care. I didn't get that impression. Tell me more about Stop International.
Okay.
Because we'll continue. I just wanted to say I hadn't heard of the group until we scheduled this interview, so I wasn't aware.
Okay. Well, I, like you said, I am the interim director of Stop International. Stop is a program of an organization called American Life League. We're in our 36th successful year, Stop is, of educating and equipping families so they can build that solid wall of resistance against Planned Parenthood in their communities. This is because Planned Parenthood not only is an abortion organization, but it brings obscene sex indoctrination programs to the youngest of children, and we're very, very much opposed to that. The purpose of STOP is, like I said, quite simple. We educate people about the truth of Planned Parenthood and its programs, so they're equipped to stand up and let everyone know that Planned Parenthood is not welcome in their schools or in their communities. And that's what parents are doing. And getting back to your original question, I guess, of why is Planned Parenthood shutting down? This is one of the major reasons, because parents are standing up and saying, no, you're not welcome in our community. We don't believe in what you're doing. We don't approve of what you're doing. And when they lose that community support, when it erodes, which it will, when the truth gets out and people know exactly why Planned Parenthood's there and what they're doing, then we see them pack up their bags and leave town. They go looking for more receptive ground, and it's getting harder and harder for Planned Parenthood to find that receptive ground, because more and more people are learning the truth about Planned Parenthood.
And your group, STOP, has been in existence for 36 years?
That's correct. And we're a program of American Life League. American Life League was co-founded in 1979 by Judy Brown and nine other dedicated pro-life Americans. American Life League is committed to protection of all innocent human beings from the moment of creation until death.
Well, today you guys have to be very, very happy about this. And one of the things that has concerned me I don't like when people on either side get violent or threaten others, and the threats against Justice Kavanaugh and the other Supreme Court justices bothered me a lot. My friend and co-host James Breslow made a good point that he wanted them. Another reason he wanted the ruling to come out as quickly as possible was because until then, these Supreme Court justices are in danger. So one of the things that has troubled me. Yeah, I think you're probably right. One of the things that has concerned me that I've watched is when people on either side get to a level of just violent activity or acting really crazy. So there were some women that I would see that I couldn't really relate to, and they were being almost arrogant about this subject. But I'm not a woman, and I don't know. There was demonstrations for abortion rights that I thought were a little were actually bordering on crazy in the fact that some people were bragging about these things and being very, very vociferously pro to the point that it looked like, frankly, they were a bit crazy. But again, I'm not a woman. And then on the other hand, we can't have people who are pro-life attacking those they don't agree with. So it's complex. And I would implore that people like yourself, and I can hear it in your voice. You are a caring person, and you are, and your group sounds like it is trying to help these women who are in this situation. So I would just ask on both sides for, and this is what upsets me about Nancy Pelosi and these people taking this moment for political posturing, instead of trying to help us heal as a nation and come to some kind of a consensus, because what we do here is going to have global ripples as well. It troubles me when people make political hay out of something like this, because it's a much more profound question that is being addressed here than just trying to continue to get elected and appeal to your political base.
And I agree with you 100%. Violence has no place in the battle to protect human life. It's counter to what we're doing. I have not seen, and I let me tell you, I've spent many years, as I said, out in front of abortion facilities, offering help to women that are going in to hopefully be able to steer them in a direction that they can live with and that their child can live with. I've never once seen any pro-life people that were around me be violent in any way, but I myself have been the victim of violence at least twice out there from the pro-abortion crowd. I know one day I had a security officer at Planned Parenthood come up to me and ask me a question, and I answered him politely, and he just, something clicked. He just went off and he started pushing me violently away from the clinic where I was standing legally. And I was pregnant. I was obviously very pregnant, probably, 8 months pregnant. And he pushed me all the way across the parking lot and tried to push me down in a big puddle that was out there. And by the grace of God, I stayed on my feet. But that was just harrowing, you know. I was pregnant and he was a big man and I'm a little woman, and he did that to me. And we did talk to Planned Parenthood about that, and they did fire that security guard, but that was totally unprovoked. And he just came after me. Our way has always been a peaceful way, a prayerful way. We go out there and we pray and we offer help to women, and that's all we do. We're not there to argue or cause any fights or any trouble. We're just there to help people. So another time there was a man who was an escort for one of these centers, and he saw a sign that my young son was holding. My son was about 7 years old at the time, and the sign said, "Dr. So-and-so," who was the doctor at this clinic, commits abortions. It was a simple statement of fact. And the man got in his car and jumped the curb. We were across the street in a public park, jumped the curb and tried to run over my seven-year-old son, who fortunately was a very smart, fast little boy, and he got out of the way. So it didn't injure him. But I have seen that so often. I've had people drive by and throw cups of ice at me and turn the Planned Parenthood turns a sprinkler on us, you know. It's petty, silly stuff, but it's uncalled for. It doesn't contribute to anything. I'm 100% on board with you. We need to remain peaceful, calm, and able to sit down and talk with one another. And I've got good ideas. Maybe you've got some good ideas. Let's talk about it.
Agree with you. That's ultimately the main thing I want out of this, is for people to try to take the high road, because I know people on both sides are passionate about this issue. And it is, it's an important issue. It's not a trivial thing. And I hope and I pray that we can conduct ourselves in a way that brings peace and not continued discord. And for those people who don't agree with this, let's readdress it. My guest I had right before this, Patrick Jordan, he brought up the very valid point. It's like, listen, there is a legal way to address this if you wish to. And in the U.S., we have a wonderful constitution and we can make changes as necessary. So I would appeal to those who are on the other side of the issue. Let's try to work on this. But I think it's going to be hard because I think a lot of people are going to be completely freaked out this weekend.
They are. Yeah. Planned Parenthood is completely freaked out. They've been putting out all kinds of things that let you know they're freaked out. And, but one thing I want to bring up is that
please
abortion is way beyond an issue. It's a human rights violation. We've got 60 million dead babies because of Roe versus Wade. And that's why we're so passionate about it. It's not an issue. It's way beyond an issue.
Understood. I'm speaking with Rita Diller. We're going to take a quick break. She is with Stop International, which is Stop Planned Parenthood. This is Deprogram. We're going to come back for our final segment on this Friday, June the 24th. Man, what a day this is. We'll be right back. TNT Radio.
It has come to this. Heatwave lockdowns are now a thing.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Marano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Marano.
Due to a heat wave, regions in France are now banning outdoor gatherings and concerts until officials declare the heat wave over. You thought the COVID lockdowns were an anomaly? Welcome to the heat wave lockdowns. Officials in France banned people from attending concerts, gatherings, and events due to the safety concerns over the heat wave. You are no longer allowed to make this decision for yourself. Unelected government bureaucrats now determine what you can and can't do outside in the summer. In one of the biggest ironies, the annual resistance celebrations are now banned until officials declare the heat wave over. Expect a cold wave lockdown next, and climate lockdowns are already on the horizon. The wacky world in which we live. For the Marano Minute, this is Mark Marano on TNT Radio.
My name is Latoy Adams. I served in the Army. Being with paralyzed veterans of America, they have showed me so much is possible.
I'm Sean Castle, served in the United States Army. I went from laying in a hospital bed dying to being a professional wheelchair basketball player. And it started with that one moment where there's life. I am unstoppable because Paralyzed Veterans of America is by my side.
We are unstoppable.
Learn more at pva.org.
This is where you get your daily ration of high-velocity conversation. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is our final segment. We're speaking with Rita Diller, and we are talking about the overturn of Roe versus Wade today. We're talking about STOP, a group that she is a portion of. And in our final segment, I guess where I'm slightly differing from you is on the contraception issue,
right? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, it's like I tend to agree with you on some of the aspects of abortion. Contraception, I look as a way to hopefully have less abortion. And when I speak of contraception, I am talking primarily about pills. So I differ with you on that. And I hear in your voice your concern. And I also know that I share some of your feelings about this, but the contraception issue, I think, is a more realistic, people are not going to stop having sex. And it is, and I also have teenage daughters, and dad's completely uncomfortable talking about all these subjects. But I just know that people are going to have sexual relationships, outside of marriage. And, contraception, I'm still okay with.
And honestly, this case has nothing to do with contraception. This is about overturning abortion. So
true.
We're kind of going off down a side road here, but as far as where we're going, we were talking earlier about the states and what the situation is, I can tell you that there are 26 states that are poised right now to move quickly to ban almost all abortion. Now that Roe's overturned, of those 26, 13 have trigger laws in place that will take effect immediately.
Explain what that means, a trigger law.
It's a law that is written with words that will trigger the law into action 30 days or a given time period after Roe versus Wade is overruled. So these have been written and put in place just for such a time as this. There are 14 states that have laws already in place to protect abortion. So both sides have been working in their state legislatures, et cetera, to try to control whether there's abortion in their states or not. And it's going to be a continual battle. And I have to say that today the battle is not over. It has just begun. There is going to be constant contention and tension within the states about whether this state is going to allow abortion or not. And we're also seeing now that wherever abortion is already banned, whether partially or completely, you can see that Planned Parenthood has its networks already in gear to fight against those laws. And there just remains a lot of work to be done to keep communities free of Planned Parenthood, which is our goal. But as our work continues, so did the closures. And let me say one thing, too, about I know that when I first mentioned closing Planned Parenthood or not allowing Planned Parenthood to be in the state, I forgot where I was going with that.
Well, I think you were probably addressing
it was the whole contraception issue.
I was surprised by that. I think it's because I really didn't know this was happening.
I really wasn't. But there are so many community health centers in place that provide contraception. Getting rid of Planned Parenthood is not going to stop contraception.
Right.
And they are an abortion centered business, and we don't support contraception because it can kill babies and does kill babies. But it's not, it's not the end of contraception because Roe has been stricken down.
And I respect your feelings about that. So that's the thing about all this is that we have to respect each other in this. And so your feeling about contraception, I get it. I understand it.
Sure. Thank you. And I understand where you're coming from because I was there for a long time in my life. And it's just, I think it was a matter of education and knowing how that pill works and what it's doing and that there actually are lives lost because of it, uncountable lives, honestly.
So let me ask you this, since this is focused on Planned Parenthood, your group, let's just say theoretically, and this is not going to happen, but let's just say theoretically, Planned Parenthood ceased to exist. This is a two-pronged question. What would your efforts be focused on then? And what are your efforts right now going to be focused on going forward? Because you mentioned, and I think you're absolutely correct, actually, this thing has just begun.
Yes. And American Life League and STOMP our work is going to go on. It's going to go on at a deeper level. We've always been a grassroots organization. We're going to sink our roots even deeper to help the grassroots people more to be able to tell the truth about Planned Parenthood, to stand up against Planned Parenthood, and to empower them with that information that they need. I don't think I've mentioned that I was the Respect Life director for the Diocese of Amarillo for 13 years. And during that time, when I came to Amarillo, we found that there were 19 Planned Parenthood facilities in the geographical area of our diocese. And my bishop called me in and he said, "Rita, this is a bishop's worst nightmare. What are we going to do?" And that's when we started the prayer vigils and showing up outside, Planned Parenthood and offering help to women and and doing everything we could at every turn to make sure that people understood what Planned Parenthood was about. And
let me ask you
those,
this.
Those facilities did all shut down within the 12 years. So it's the whole thing of losing community respect.
I haven't been to Amarillo in a long, long time, but 19 seems like a lot to have been in the vicinity.
It is a lot. It is a lot, but the Amarillo Diocese covers the top 26 counties of Texas. So it's a big geographical area.
Okay. I get it. Okay. I understand. And so now what does your group continue to do now? The next step of this has begun today. So what do you do now?
Well, you know, it's like I said earlier, the truth set me free. It really did. I'd been deceived as a young woman and like so many have, and I know it's going to set a lot of other people free when they understand the truth. So that's what I do now and have done for decades. I just tell the truth, and we're going to dig in deeper and deeper, like I said, into the grassroots. We have friends in every state that turn to us for advice and consulting, and we're going to work with them and channel resources toward them so that they can do their work in the trenches, as it were, to spread the truth about Planned Parenthood and about abortion. And, you know, there are other groups that work on legislation. We're not particularly a legislation oriented group because so many of the legislative initiatives have exceptions. They will ban certain abortions, but not all abortions. And how can we say it's okay to kill some babies, you know, but not others? So that's not continuity. We have to protect every life, and that's what we're out to do. Tell the truth about Planned Parenthood, help others understand that truth, turn that angst that comes with the knowledge of Planned Parenthood's agenda and business model into action at the grassroots level. And I'm just so blessed to be where God has placed me at this time in my life, and I hope to be doing this kind of work until the day I die. I would love to see abortion end, and then I wouldn't have that kind of a job anymore. But until then, I'm on 100%.
Well, I must admit, I have some issues with Planned Parenthood as well. And there have been some things that they've been accused of that I thought were pretty atrocious. I've not covered them on the show. Even the origins of Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger are a bit suspect.
Very eugenically, yes, eugenically.
Yeah, speak to that for a minute, because we've got about 2 minutes left. Speak to that.
Well, Margaret Sanger was very much a eugenicist and had a lot of networking with other people that were very much into purifying the race, that very much wanted to build an Anglo-Saxon race that was, as they called it, pure. So it's hard to read and harder to understand and believe that it has evolved to the point today where Planned Parenthood calls itself a champion of the minority communities. And that's where it sets up most of its shops, is in minority communities. And yet, if we look at the statistics, we find that they're way out of proportion aborting babies of color, babies that are not of the Anglo race. So it's very disheartening, very disgusting.
Well, that has been my understanding of it. And like I say, we haven't covered it on the show yet, and I'm sure probably now we should, and to look into that. So maybe I'll have to look into some people who can speak to that further. Rita, thank you for coming on the show today. And tell everybody again where they can find all of your work, where they can find STOP, and any other additional sites or social media that they should follow.
Just go to stop.org, and there you will, or I'm sorry, It is ALL.org. We've changed our website. So ALL.org. And there you will find all of the American Life League work and the work of STOP as well.
All right. Are you on social media at all? The groups?
Yes, we are, but I'm not in the social media part. So unfortunately, okay. I'm not sure about that.
All right. Well, Rita, I thank you for coming on today. Today is a historic, monumental day, and I appreciate you coming on. And I do. I respect all of your views, and I share at least a large part of them. My name is Michael Parker. This is Deprogram. I hear the music. That means, Michael, get the heck off the air. TNT Radio, I'll be back on Monday. Thank you to my producer, Alex, for making everything work again today. Thank you to Patrick Jordan, and thank you to Charles Kovas for coming on in the first hour. Today is a wow, what a day. And as always, this is my privilege to get to speak to you. And if you're listening to me, I thank you. Deprogram, TNT, I'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. And if you're in Australia, have a great remainder of Saturday and Sunday. All right? Ciao. I'm out. Peace.